Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, nationally syndicated out of San Francisco and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show Jeff Greenwald. He is a sports psychologist, former athlete himself, and he has a book entitled The Mental Edge for Young Athletes, a world champion's mental toughness guide for athletes, parents, and coaches in the digital age. Jeff, welcome to the show. And the first thing I thought of when I heard this book was the specialization of sports with young kids now. And, you know, I'm 60, and when I grew up, we played everything. And the thought of dedicating ourselves to one sport might be if you wanted to be like an Olympic figure skating or something. So now, what is this thing where people say, you know, you're 10 years old, you really got to pick one sport now?
Yeah, great to be with you, Rick. And yeah, it's just so competitive, keeping up with the Joneses, right? And early, and you have pitching coaches and all kinds of help, because we're able to see on social media in particular what everybody else is doing, and the best athletes in the world are glorified. We see the 24/7 all of that, and only 1% make it to the pros. So it's a bit unbalanced, I'd say, right?
Then, you know, it's interesting too, because I remember speaking with someone who was talking about the burnout that these kids are having. And I remember my cousins who grew up in San Jose, they moved to Reno in high school, and they were tennis players, and they were both Nevada state champs. But they didn't take scholarships to college because they never wanted to see another tennis racket again. They were just done with it. What about that whole burnout thing?
Well, that's the sad part of it, right? Especially tennis, it's a lifelong sport, and you find that the kids, it's a job now, and the joy, it's just really hard to find kids really having that kind of fun. I mean, certainly there are teams and so forth that create the culture, and coaches do a good job with that, but by and large, there's just such an increase in the pressure and stress to get into D1, and by the time they get there, you know, they are burned out, and let alone playing tennis, say, for the rest of your life, which is the real win, isn't it?
No, there's no doubt. That's a great point. But I remember years ago I was interviewing Mike Andrea. He's the head softball coach at Arizona. He was also the USA coach in the Olympics. And he had coached men's baseball, and he had a theory, and this is, of course, we're talking in general terms, but he said men will play and then get in a bad mood because they're not playing well. He's like, with the women he was coaching, it's like their mood before the game is going to dictate how they're going to play. Like, that was his way of looking at it. Is that antiquated, or do you see some of that?
Well, I mean, I think the pressure, you know, outcome pressure to win, we've become so myopic on win-lose, right? And then you see it all over social media as well. So, you know, I'd say that we lose this, you know, certainly the fun aspect, and you know, kids will look at you like, fun, I'll have fun when I win, you know, like, but yeah, like women, you know, they handle things a little bit differently in that way. Women, obviously, there's a lot of emotion, and they can express it too, but it's just there's a lot of pressure that they feel before, during, after, if they lose as well. You know, young kids especially feel like their world has collapsed in a moment, right? I remember what that felt like, you know, at that age.
Also, you think about these, you know, the days of telling your kids, be home when the streetlights come on, and, you know, those days are gone, yeah. And, you know, in some ways that's good, obviously. We were raised by wolves. But on the other hand, the specialization now, it's like whatever sport you're playing, you have to have, like for us, it would be like, oh, we're playing basketball, I guess I gotta get some high tops. That was about as specialized as it got. And now people will hire private coaches, and it just seems like we overthink a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's frustrating because there's so much overuse injury now, right? When you're specializing at 10, you know, you're just wearing out those muscles, those joints, and there's just such an increase in the overuse injury. So playing multiple sports still is really good through, you know, to 13, 14 even maybe, you know, where you're playing a few different sports, so you're working different muscles and a little more well-rounded, more balanced and all of that, and not to mention enjoying, you know, a few sports rather than having it become this obsession and all about winning and losing and rankings, and it just starts going down this path, parents too, and they feel it, the anxiety of the kids, the parents are feeling anxious because the kids are feeling anxious. So you got this bubble, this pressure bubble that just, you know, keeps expanding. I just want to really bring attention to it. And we got to improve communication between kids, parents, and coaches, you know.
Talking about parents, and we know like the Marv Marinoviches or like Greg Jeffries' dad, and they basically had their sons like robots. And yes, they did end up going pro. Marinovich, you know, now he wasn't long before he just turned to weed and painting. He just wanted to get away from it all. He was beyond burned out. But you know, you mentioned the dad. There's always the dad. Stand behind the backstop. Keep your elbow up. Step. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like you just want to say, "Look, your kid's not going pro. Will you just let him play?"
Right. I know, and it's that's really tough. Some kids can handle it better than others. You know, the parents are really involved and to that degree, which is unhealthy. And it's finding that balance. Now, some parents, you know, they coach their kids. You know, and that the kid's temperament can handle that, right? But most kids with a parent that involved, you know, they start to crumble. They feel the tightness. And I had a kid coming into my office a few years ago, and his feet barely touched the ground. And I asked him about the feel, the pressure he felt. And turns out his mom was the statistician, and his dad was the little league coach. and they're wondering why their kid, the pitcher, he was melting down on the mound. They're like, we just don't understand it. It's like, oh my God.
Well, yeah, now because it used to be like, wow, that kid's got a great curveball, and now it's like, what's your spin rate? What's the angle of the, you know, the launch angle? There's all these other stats that can get into it. But I'm going to drop another name here. Years ago, I had Cal Ripken Jr. in studio, and he talked about his favorite high school memory was he was a striker on the soccer team, and he scored the winning goal to win the championship, and he always thought that he had great feet at shortstop from his time playing soccer. Now, Cal Ripken nowadays would not be allowed to play soccer. It's like you're wasting your baseball talent. Yeah,
totally, totally. Yeah, Andy Roddick played basketball, I believe, through high school. You know, won the U.S. Open, and these are talented kids. They've good athletes, but you know, to play multiple sports, to play a few, to keep it enjoyable, to keep the perspective, and you know that it's just, there's so much good that can come out of sports. So that's why it's sort of a tragedy when it goes south, because it's too much information, hopping from one coach to coach, or you know, just getting too fixated on winning, and you just get wrapped up in this bubble, you know.
And we have, you know, football, especially with the CTE and the concussion movie, we know the numbers drop for a while. And I think about all the good that I got playing football, and yes, it's a violent sport, but I remember at 14 I wondered, am I a wimp or am I tough? And when you make it through a whole season, the amount of confidence I got from that first season. You know, I end up playing football in college, but then you think about the teamwork. It doesn't matter what the ethnicity of the other guy is, and winning and losing as a team. There's so much good that come out of it. Let me ask you this, Jeff, because I think the Little League World Series is amazing. I just don't like it on national TV because now they bet on it. People, and if a kid chokes, he has to live with it forever because millions of people saw it. So I love the idea of the Little League World Series. I just don't want it on national TV. What do you think?
Well, you know, it is professionalizing kids early, and they're dealing with so much. I mean, they deal with pressure either way. When they're on TV, obviously that's going to exacerbate it. You know, I don't really have a strong opinion one way or the other, but I just think that coaches and parents need to be mindful of the way they're communicating. I think the Lamar, I think it was in Texas, team had some wristbands that, you know, they had a goal. It was a team effort, and they were they kind of band together, and they were very, very close, you know. And so some coaches do a really great job at keeping that culture, you know, about learning, growth mindset and stuff. But, you know, you're headed to the World Series, and you can only imagine the parents and everybody, the hype on it, and the kids feeling, you know, excited, but there's just a ton of pressure. And don't forget, right, Rick, the money that's being offered now in college. I think that, you know, there's a tennis player who's getting a couple $100,000 recently, I heard. And so now we've got this added element of parents seeing that opportunity with college scholarship before. Now we've got money on the table for these kids. So that just adds a whole nother component. It's just a pressure cooker, and I just hope we can make strides, you know, to balance this thing out, you know.
Final question, and even when I was playing in the 80s, they would say, you know, visualize making that touchdown pass, visualize hitting the free throw, whatever. But I know you have something you call the mastery mindset shift. What does that entail?
That's like, you know, so kids in particular, parents too, right, are thinking win-lose, right? It's very all or nothing, win-lose. But mastery is even more than just, you know, there's a classic focus on the process and the outcome, you know, let the outcome be the byproduct, which is the way to go. You know, the best athletes figured out that when you have intentions that you have control over, like being aggressive under pressure, staying loose, being focused, dialed in on the hoop, and, you know, going in with a couple's very specific goals, you know, over and above the outcome, that keeps you, you know, it's like, you know, guardrails on the freeway, and it keeps you focused. And a mastery mindset is getting immersed in the moment, getting immersed in what you're, the new metrics, different metrics, not to replace winning and losing, because, you know, results matter, but can we also balance it with this more, you know, focus on mastery and improvement and these skill development, character development too, right?
Yeah, well, I might need this book. I, at the risk of sharing too much, I know my niece playing high school volleyball is just always has so much anxiety, and maybe this will help. The book is called The Mental Edge for Young Athletes, a World Champions Mental Toughness Guide for Athletes, Parents, and Coaches in the Digital Age, and it's from our guest, the licensed family therapist, Jeff Greenwald. Jeff, good stuff, man. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Rick, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.